Okay. Yeah, we're ready. Psalm 119, we're continuing our Tehillim teaching. We're in the letter Lamed, and today we're going to do the third verse, which is Psalm 119, verse 91. We've spoken of heaven and earth. The words, the psukim that correspond to Lamed opened up with Elom Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Bashamoyim. We talked about ongoing creation of the heavens. In verse 90, we talked about L'dor V'dor, generationally. Emunasecho Kenanta Eretz. It's Hashem's faithfulness that establishes earth. So we talked about heaven, and we talked about earth. And verse 91 is a continuation. L'mishpatecha amdo hayim, for your judgment, everybody stands today, ki hakol avodecha, because they are all your servants. So, if we take a look in the Medrash Tilim commentary on verse 91 is actually a continuation of its commentary of verse 90. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the heavens constantly, and because the earth is sustained by God's faithfulness. Says the Medrash Tilim, we have a famous pasuk in Iyev Heim B'Kadeshov L'Yamin. God doesn't even believe in His holy ones, doesn't trust in His holy ones, so to speak. And therefore, Umi Nimlat, nobody escapes. V'Hakoyl Imde Badin, everybody stands in judgment. L'Kach Nemar, says the Medrash Tilim, that's the reason it says L'Mishpatecho Omdu Hayoyim K'Hakol Avadecho. In other words, who is being judged here? Heaven and earth are being judged. It's not like a given. Because heaven and earth are in place, and since they've been around for so many years, so, you know, once you last 5,779 years, you're in good shape. You're probably going to last the whole 6,000. No. There's no guarantee. Every day is a new day. And if we're sustained today, if the heaven and earth are around today, it's because Hashem has judged them today and found them functioning as per His will, and that's why they're around. That's basically what the Medrash Tilim says. So from the first approach, we're going to have three approaches in understanding this pasuk. The first approach is the continuation of hearing about the ongoing creation of heaven and earth is that it's not a given. It's an ongoing creation, meaning a new decision. Every moment God decides, now the heaven and earth will continue to function. Now heaven and earth will continue to be given existence. And nothing can be assumed. So they're in judgment. They're standing in judgment at all times. As the Rechiyun puts it, the Ben Yitzchak Chiyun, he's quoted by the Ma'am Loyes, he says, each and every single day, Eimdim kol habruyim l'mishpatecha. When we talk about heaven and earth, really it includes everything in between. So all of creation is standing on a daily basis before God to be judged. And they have to do what Hashem says. And if they do what Hashem says, then they deserve life, existence. And if they don't, they don't. It's as simple as that. And the truth is that this idea is I think perhaps articulated or alluded to by the Radak, who says l'mishpatecha. He says l'aseis mishpatecha v'gzeirascha ad hayoyim. This is to do your judgment or to do your things. They continue to exist until today. So here we kind of move into almost like a Radak. I think is a nexus between. Eifen Aleph and Eifen Beis, the two ways of learning this pasuk. One way of learning this pasuk is that heaven and earth are being judged, that heaven and earth is being decided, should or should they not exist, each and every single moment. L'mishpatecha amdo ayim. And this idea of l'mishpatecha amdo ayim, according to the Tanchuma Yashon, is the meaning of what says in the prophecies of Tzefanya, in the third chapter, in the fifth verse, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Tzadik, it says, God is righteous. And Bikirba La Yasa Avla, there's nothing in the earth that people can do which is not according to the will of Hashem. Ba'beker, ba'beker, mishpata yitin la'er. Each and every single day, each and every morning, so to speak, the judgment comes forth. And the way that Tanchuma Yashan explains this, by the way, the idea of Babaker, that each morning, and then it says, Mishpatecha Yitein La'ur, that your judgment is illuminates. The way the Mitzudas Davin and Mitzudas Sin explain it, it means it becomes clear. Everything is judged in a clear fashion, in an illuminated, lit-up fashion. But the way the Tanchuma Yashan explains this is that each day is earned, so to speak. You don't just get a day. Babaker, babaker, every morning. Everything has to be earned. If creation functions as per the will of Hashem, it is sustained and it exists. If it were not to, then it wouldn't be. And therefore, by extension, nothing can happen in this world that isn't the will of Hashem, which of course presents us with enormous theological challenges. How could these terrible things be happening according to the will of Hashem? And we don't have the answer for that. We don't really understand it. This is one of the big theological challenges. And this is the whole idea of Tzimtzum, the idea of God concealing himself, and that God's ways are not understood to humanity, and it doesn't allow us to draw conclusions, and we're allowed to ask questions, and we cry out in pain. All true, but you have to know, ultimately, it's all the judgment of Hashem. There's a famous melitza on the pasuk that we say on Shabbos afternoon at the end of davening. We say, Tzidkoscha kahara reyel, that Hashem's tzedek, Hashem's righteousness, Hashem's goodness is like a majestic mountain. When you take back, sometimes take a step back and you look at life, and you look at the years and you look at decades and you look at centuries and you see how everything unfolded exactly so, and you see Hashem's kindness. And it's stunning. It's an extraordinary picture. You realize that if one moment didn't happen and another moment didn't happen and all these little things come together and it's, wow, how amazing is Hashem's kindness, how Hashem arranged everything. It's like a majestic mountain. But then when it comes to Mishpatecha, Hashem's judgment, we say it's Tahoyim Rabba. This is a great abyss. Nobody can figure that out. Hashem's judgment we can appreciate, we can see in its grandeur. Hashem's Mishpat, Hashem's judgment, big mystery to us. But l'mishpatecha amdu hayayim, everything in every day happens exactly as it's supposed to. So Radak says, continuing this first oifen, he says, l'mishpatecha v'gzeirascha ad hayayim, that everything lasted until today by virtue of your judgment. V'yamdu, and they are all continue to exist, ki hakol avadecha, because everybody ultimately is in servitude to God. We're all God's servants. However, Radak adds an interesting nuance here. He doesn't say that they are being judged. He says, La'asais mishpatecha, to do your judgment, to do your bidding, v'gzeirascha, to do your decrees. In other words, the creation is being judged to see if it deserves to have life, and by what, or by dint of what can it deserve to have life? By dint of what does it deserve to exist? By dint of the notion that it carries out Hashem's mishpatim, Hashem's gezeira. So it's being judged, but you have to read into this also, it's being judged because it does Hashem's judgment. What does this mean? So there's a Gemara in the Dorim, a very, very, an incredible Gemara in the Dorim, actually. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara tells a story about this very verse. The Gemara says, "V'omer Reb Alexandria, Omer Reb Chiya bar Abba," and others say this in the name of Reb Shua ben Levi. Kevan shehigia kitzei shel adam, hakol mashlim bay. Once a person's time comes, whenever that might be, everything can control the person. In other words, the person is now under the sway of circumstances, and that's the meaning of what Kayan said. Kayan said that now my time has come. Hashem says my time is up. Kol moitzai yaharguni. Anybody who finds me will kill me. In other words, he has no protection against anything or anybody. When your time comes, your time comes. So Rav said that this idea is from a pasuk. That's the meaning of l'mishpatecha amdu hayoyim ki hakol avadecha. Everybody stands in judgment because when the day comes, everybody is just God's servants. And the Gemara explains. Rabbi Bar Shila tells a very dramatic story in which he saw this. He says, Shchiv Gavra Gavaya. There was this very tall, strapping, strong individual. And he was riding Girunduno Zutra. He was riding a small donkey. He's got a small, sturdy donkey. Not like he was a person riding a large animal and didn't have control. He was riding his donkey, had good control of the animal. And they came to a bridge, Mata Titura, they came to a bridge. And all of a sudden, this sturdy fellow, riding a small donkey is full control of the situation, and he's on the sturdy bridge, and all of a sudden it says istiyut. Istiyut means it began to convulse, or it went crazy. The way the Mefarshim explained it, ruach shtus went into him, some kind of folly. The animal flipped out, and it began to convulse and shake wildly. And Shadia v'koshachiv, and the person was hurled into the water, and he died. So this, when he saw this shocking scene where everything was placid and fine, and in one moment, the person's life ended. He said, "L'mishpatecha amdahayim." When the time comes, nothing can stop it. And it could be a donkey, it could be a river, it could be a bridge, whatever it's going to be. When the time comes, if a person's time comes, then creation, so to speak, takes over. Shmuel, who was Rav's friend and protagonist, he says, Chazilahu akrava. He saw this scorpion. Yasiva al akruksa va'avranara. He saw it on the other side of a river. And he says, this person was walking perfectly, fine. And all of a sudden, it jumped on the back of a frog, and it came across the river. It bit the unsuspecting victim, and the person died on the spot. And he saw this whole scene unfold. He saw this person walking on the side of a river. He noticed a scorpion across the river. He saw how the scorpion slithered onto the back of a frog, and he came across the river, and in a moment, bit and gone. Just like that. And he saw this whole thing happen. So he said about this, L'mishpatecha amdayim. This is the idea of L'mishpatecha amdayim. So what does that mean? This really, I think, is what Adak is saying when he says, L'mishpatecha means L'ases mishpatecha, to do your judgment. Why and how does this work? So in the Sefer Tehillos Hashem, he says something very interesting. He says that a person has at all times the presence of Hashem. He has the presence of Hashem in him. And because he has the presence of Hashem, nature is actually afraid of humanity. In a normal situation, animals run away from people. There's a certain security with which a person goes because he's a human being. We see this in the fact that a live person, even if he's a tiny baby, doesn't get attacked by rodents. But the moment a person is dead, he could be the most powerful individual. All of a sudden, in a moment, the rodents come and attack. The rodents are somehow, they smell life. They're afraid of life. They stay away from life. The moment, God forbid, life is gone, that means the Tzelem Elikim is gone, all of a sudden they can attack. So the Tehillos Hashem says that when a person's time comes, so then his spirit departs him prematurely. And when his spirit departs, that allows nature to, so to speak, take hold of the person. And whatever it may be, whether it's going to be a tree, whether it's going to be some kind of precipitation, a flood, whatever it's going to be. But when a person's time comes, all of a sudden the person doesn't have control anymore. And then, l'mishpatecha, once it's Hashem's judgment, everything stands ready to do Hashem's judgment, and there's no way, so to speak, to stop these circumstances. So, with regard to this notion that when the person's time comes and the mishpat is done, the Rich Yun says something very interesting. He says, you have to understand that creation is, it's not good and it's not bad. Creation is a servant of Hashem. I mean, it's like good or bad for us. So, the heavens are good to me, or the heavens are not good to me. The rain is good, the water is good, the fire is good. He said, all of this is neither good or bad for me. It's all doing the will of Hashem. And he says, the same heavens that emptied bread from Jewish people, giving them manna, the same heavens also emptied fire and sulfur on the people of Sodom. So, the heavens aren't the place of blessing or a curse. It's not the source of life or the opposite. The source of everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says it's l'toiv and it's l'ra. It could go good or bad. But it's l'mishpatecha. They stand ready to do Hashem's bidding. Whatever Hashem's bidding is going to be. And when a person's time comes, nobody can stop it. And because heaven and earth, meaning creation, all of the natural world, is prepared to do Hashem's bidding, this is why the earth and its fullness, the heavens and its vastness are sustained. They're sustained because they are l'mishpatecha, because they stand ready to do your mishpat. And why? Because hakol avadecha. Because ultimately they understand they're all subservient. They don't have, if you will, a mind of their own. Only people are rebellious. Heaven and earth are not rebellious. The oceans are not rebellious. The mountains aren't rebellious. The trees aren't rebellious. The animals aren't rebellious. The truth is that it goes even further. On some level, even when humanity chooses to do bad things, and humanity will be accountable for it, but even then, ultimately what happens, the impact, that's in Hashem's hands. That means no person could possibly take somebody else's life if Hashem didn't decide that the person's end has come. That does not exonerate that person. That person will pay a full price. And everybody has a day of judgment for Hashem. But nothing just happens. It didn't happen because that person did it. It happened because Hashem wanted it to happen. The Chazit Zion says that David HaMelech repeated this verse often. And the reason he repeated this verse often is because he himself constantly strove to see all the misfortunes that came his way, even though many of those misfortunes were man-made misfortunes. Bad decisions that people had made, sinful behavior that people had engaged in to harm David HaMelech. And David HaMelech saw this as ultimately the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And some of the examples that the Chazit Zion gives is when David HaMelech was being pursued by Shimi ben Gera. So Shimi ben Gera, who was this rebellious individual, he came after David and he was cursing him and throwing rocks at him. And Shimi ben Gera, and David was running away from his own son. He was the lowest point of his life, if you will. Running away, his own throne being taken over by his own son. And Shimi comes and he curses David and throws rocks at him. And his men wanted to kill him and David said, don't touch him, leave him. It's not Shimi who's cursing me. I need to hear those curses now. It's not Shimi throwing the rocks now. I need to be pelted with rocks now. I needed this. This is to bring me low. This has to bring me humble. In other words, he said, whatever's happening now, I'm not going to be angry at Shimi. Whatever's happening now, this is destined to come my way from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Shimi had to pay a price. In fact, Shimi had to pay a price not only in heaven, but even on earth. And one of the instructions David HaMelech gave his son Shlomo with regard to dealing with what will come in the postmortem after he passes is Shimi needs to be followed up with. Because a person who behaved like that in front of a monarch does not deserve to live. A society cannot function. A monarchical society cannot function if the monarch is demeaned in that fashion. And therefore, the Torah says that if somebody shames or embarrasses or attacks a king, a royal, a sovereign, that there's achas dosei, that there's an actual capital punishment. David HaMelech didn't want to carry it himself. He said, the judgment is judgment, the law is law, and law has to be carried out here. However, David didn't hold it against Shimi per se. He didn't say, how dare Shimi do this? He looked at those circumstances and said, this too is from heaven. And this requires enormous faith, that every situation that comes our way, for us to know that this was supposed to be that way from heaven.
So saying Tehillim for somebody that is not well?
We are supposed to say Tehillim?
Has no effect.
It doesn't say it has no effect. Maybe it will have an enormous effect. We don't know. And sometimes the answer to our prayers is no. That doesn't mean our prayers are worthless. Doesn't mean we could change. This divine decree, we could change it. That's the concept of prayer. So it doesn't mean we can't change something. But if Hashem decides that it's not going to be changed, then it won't be changed. Two stories. And I've probably shared the stories with you many times, but I think in this context, they're very important stories. So my grandmother passed away in a fire, a conflagration. I shared the story recently?
No.
She was a Holocaust survivor, you know, barely escaped one step ahead of the Nazis. Her father was beaten by Nazis in the street. And then, you know, he was the sheikhet of a very prominent string of towns called the Sheva Kilis, they called it, whatever, Matzdorf Sheikhet. So they got for the Matzdorf Ruv, Matzdorf Sheikhet, and the Parnas, the head of the community, they got them temporary visas to escape. And they said, you know, when things are over, you come back. Little did anybody know, there wasn't going to be anything to come back to. And of course, there were very few survivors. So this is my grandmother's youth. She grows up as a normal child, and then as a teenager, this is what unfolds. And she lived with this, you know, her aunts and uncles were gassed and burned. And then in the end, she died in a fire. And it was an awful situation. She was wheelchair bound, and it seems somehow the portable heater somehow caught fire to the awful situation. My grandfather was upstairs in his study. He ran out of the house. He heard fire, assuming that the nanny, the woman who was there to take care of my grandmother, had taken my grandmother out. And he sees the lady. He says, where's my wife? And the lady says, I left her inside. You left her inside? So my grandfather ran back into the house, and it was impossible. acrid smoke filled the hole. It was impossible to get in. Can't even imagine how, you know, the pain, the whatever. It took 21 minutes for the fire department to respond. 21 minutes. Why? Because that local fire department was on a professional training day. Can you imagine a fire department in Brooklyn shutting down? It's unconscionable. Mayor Bloomberg came to the shiva. Everybody, they're all afraid of getting sued. This is like an open shut lawsuit. 21 minutes. I mean, the whole thing was just awful. It was insane. So I have to tell you, when I saw my grandfather the next day before the funeral, I didn't recognize him. That's how bad it was. I didn't recognize my own grandfather. I didn't recognize his face. And he said something to the effect of me is that when the Hashem says the time comes, the time comes. Said something to that effect. Like, he told me a little story. He said to me that when God was giving out jobs, so God wanted to give the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death, his job. Angel of death said, I don't want my job. He said, everybody's going to hate me. And God said, nobody's going to hate you. They're never going to blame you. They'll blame the fire department. They'll blame the police service. They'll blame the rabbi. They'll blame the doctor. They'll blame the nurse. They'll blame the hospital. Nobody ever blame you. So I told my grandfather that I heard a story that on the first night of Shiva, after the Rebbe lost his wife, I saw the Rebbe that night. One of my great regrets in life was walking by the Rebbe that night. Beyond awful, beyond awful. Dr. Weiss, who was the Rebbe's cardiologist and also the Rebbetzin's doctor, maintained a very, very close relationship with the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin, and he was heartbroken because really the Rebbetzin died of a misdiagnosis. She has internal bleeding and the doctor missed it. Fine doctor, a good doctor, well-meaning doctor. Mistakes happen. He missed it. He gave her aspirin. She had internal bleeding. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy. And all bleeding ulcer. So Dr. Weiss flew in from Chicago, of course, for the Levaya. And after that Meirev and the Nicham Avelim, when people came by, ended. So Dr. Weiss approached the Rebbe and he asked the Rebbe if he could speak to him. So the Rebbe said with a smile, if you leave your doctor bag downstairs. Which to me is already like unbelievable because I saw the Rebbe that night. I can't describe it to you. So tears streaming from his face. It was terrible. And the Rebbe went upstairs in his house and Dr. Weiss followed. And then the Rebbe had a little study and we went into the Rebbe's study. He closed the door and Dr. Weiss burst into uncontrollable weeping. And he said to the Rebbe, in between his sobs, he said, we could have saved her. Could have saved her. I mean, like, she shouldn't have died of a bleeding ulcer. And the Rebbe said to him that when a person's time comes, nobody can save them. The Rebbe began to comfort him. If a person's time comes, nobody can save them. And this, it seems to me, is the meaning of the psukim here, l'mishpatecha amdu hayem karkala v'edecha. Whatever the circumstances happen, in the end, we have to believe in Hashem, so it wasn't the drunk driver, and it wasn't the distracted driver, and it wasn't the mistakes on the construction site. It can't be any of these things. What they did, they will be guilty for, and Hashem will judge them, and they will suffer the pain of what they did till the end of time. No question. That's between them and God. But as far as you're concerned, you have to know that everything happens by the hand of Hashem. There was a story in the 407, I think, last week. Somebody had building supplies, and they didn't, like, kind of secure the supplies, and a piece of plywood went flying in the road, right? And smash somebody's windshield. I think they were saved miraculously. Yeah. I mean, that's a split second between life and death. It's a split second if the plywood lands a quarter of a centimeter one way or the other, right? Baruch Hashem, they survived. They could have not survived. So the person who didn't secure the building materials is guilty of sin. And he did a horrible thing. And he will have the law thrown against him, and he should, and it's beyond terrible. But that person lived or died was not in his hands, but rather B'yad Hashem. And we have to know this, that when a person's time comes, the time comes. And if it's not your time, it's not your time. And this is the faith that David HaMelech is teaching us. This really, when you think about it, this is the natural continuation then. L'mishpatecha amdu kala hayem ki akala v'decha. Because we believe that la'ilam Hashem dvarcha nitzav ha'shamayim. Because we believe that God is constantly involved with creation each and every single moment. Because nothing could happen by itself. It can't. Nothing can exist by itself. That means the gas chamber in which millions of Jews is being are gassed and burned has to be existing because God's making it exist. How do you work that out? God made it exist. God enabled the Nazi to murder the baby. How? I don't know how. I don't have the answer to that question. There's a mystery to us. But if you want to talk about it cerebrally, from a faith perspective, that's what we have to believe. This is the kind of faith David HaMelech believed. He didn't just talk about it. He lived by it. When Shimi ben Gera was attacking him, he refused to be angry. He refused to be angry at Shimi. Like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, he said, Ki Hashem omer l'Shimi. It's as if God told Shimi to do this. Not meaning that Shimi is exonerated from his disgusting behavior. He behaved terribly and he suffered the consequence. But as far as David HaMelech is concerned, in other words, it's the ability to be able to divide between a person's choice, the choices that a person makes that he or she will ultimately be responsible for, and the impact, what happens as a result of that choice ultimately is in the hands of Hashem. Because one person could try to do something terrible to somebody and they could fail if Hashem wanted it to fail. And the other person didn't mean to do something very terrible and it turned out very terrible. Again, it's in Hashem's hands. And precisely because creation stands ready to do exactly what Hashem wants, that's why creation exists. In other words, creation doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists only because ke'akol avadecha. And these are not easy messages, not easy to talk about, and certainly not easy to live by. And this is the challenge, one of the great challenges of Yiddishkeit, the great challenges of faith. The Me'iri, in his commentary, says, the point being made here is that despite the fact that God created nature, and despite the fact that nature doesn't change, and despite the fact that it seems our world is so predictable, it's really not so. It just looks that way. It just happens to be that God chooses day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, that things should be this way, but it doesn't have to be. Nothing ever has to be. There was a famous sage, a very wealthy person, and the Gemara talks about him. The Gemara says that he would have this great meal prepared, and before he would eat, he would begin to pray to Hashem. And one of the sages of the Gemara would daven, ask Hashem for his food after the food was served to him. So they said, what are you doing? He's a table full of food. If food got served to you. And they had the same response. They said, because everything comes from Hashem, until I have it, I don't have it. Until you have it. If you see, don't count the chickens before they hatch, with all those folk tales that come along with it. You could have it in hand, you still don't have it. Nobody ever knows what tomorrow brings. I just saw an article yesterday of somebody who made $1 billion and then he died at 54. And they have like his deathbed ruminations. It's not about money, it's not about fame, all this, kind of like, cliche kind of stuff. Care about your family, care about your friends. It's all true and everybody knows it's true. But when they're in the thick of things, you got to make that money. That's what it's all about. But it's really not all about that. And we should know it. And that's the Yetzer Hara, is such a sly, terrible fellow that he manages to set up these obfuscations and smoke screens and confusion that despite the fact that we know the truth and we see the truth and we encounter it on a regular basis and nobody knows what tomorrow will bring, mamish, in the most literal way, the only thing that's predictable is that nothing is predictable, and yet we behave as if everything's predictable. It's like, it's almost to the point of insanity, almost to the point of folly. But that's the intuitive way that Hashem created us. Because otherwise, it would be a given that everybody would be a tzaddik. Everybody would be a holy person. And the Yetzer Hara doesn't take a rest. It doesn't go on vacation. The Gemara tells a story about a person at a funeral doing a terrible sin. Rachman al-San burying her own child and they sinned. So how could that be? So this is the Yetzer Hara. He has a way of creating this confusion and it's always going to be a challenge. So what do we have to achieve? What do we have to look for to overcome these challenges? In one word, mindfulness. So much of Judaism is dedicated to mindfulness. The mezuzah at the door, mindfulness. On the way in, on the way out. Stop, think, remember. It's all about stop. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why are we remembering? We're always remembering. We're always reminding. We have all these reminders. Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim. All these, because we need to constantly remind ourselves that it should be always before us. Because if we're not constantly reminded, then we forget and we lose the mindfulness. And that's why a person has to constantly stop and think. And that's what the Tillim's about. That's the Pshat Tillim, Mishpatecha Amdu Hayim. The Mitzudas David, he says, L'mishpatecha, Reitzaleim b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, each and every single day, Eimdim aroches ha-shamayim, v'chisileim la'aseis mishpatecha. The heavens and all that's in the heavens stands every day to do Hashem's will, kefi ha-gzar, as the way God decrees it to be. V'im kehira oysam yiyya behepach. And even though sometimes what God decrees is exactly the opposite of where it was a moment ago. Yeah, that could be. Ki akur l'mavadecha. Because they're all your servants. Meaning, v'nechnoyim heimel egzeres hamokim. At the end of the day, it's not nature. At the end of the day, it's the will of Hashem. So creation functions that way. Only we're the dumb ones who don't. All of creation knows it. But then again, creation can't be holy or sacred because it can't do Hashem's will. It can't make the right decisions. We can. And that's what makes the times we choose right so precious and so meaningful and so special. Now, there is a third way of understanding this. So again, the first way is heaven and earth are being judged. The second way is heaven and earth are carrying out God's judgment. And really, the two ways are not mutually exclusive. And then there is a third approach. And the third approach is found in the Yalkut, as the Ma'am Loya says, or in the Psikta Zutusa, or Psikta Rabasi. And over there it says that Hayoim, with a hey in front, like the day, Mishpatecha Amdo Hayoim, today, on this day, refers to Rosh Hashanah. And actually we say this on Rosh Hashanah. It's part of a Rosh Hashanah liturgy. We say, L'mishpatecha amdo hayem ki akol avadecha. The Yalkut says it like this. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to us, the Jewish people, Adam HaRishon danti yosei v'zachisi yosei. Adam HaRishon Chava, they did the wrong thing, and I judged them. And what was the result of the judgment? They were meritorious. They survived. They didn't get a capital punishment. It wasn't the end of them. So, and Adam went on to live. He went on to live. B'yayim Yishali, one of my days. What's one of God's days? We say that a day of Hashem is like Elef Shonim, Be'enecha. One day in God's eyes, says in Psalm 90, is like 1,000 years. And David HaMelech was actually destined to live 1,000 years. Only he kindly gave 70 of those years. So David HaMelech, we learned a couple of weeks ago. So David HaMelech, not only he merited judgment, L'mishpatecha Amdu, and what did he get? He got Hayoim. He got one of my days. He got one of my days to God. I gave him 1,000 more years to live. Because this was in the first hour, 2 hours of his life. And so, says the Yalkut, Af Atem, you too. Kishatiu boyim lefanei bedin b'Rosh Hashanah. When you come before me in judgment on Rosh Hashanah. So come, he says, b'sheifaris. Come with the shofar. And therefore, even if there'll be all kinds of things which are mekatrig, all kinds of things which get in the way of you receiving a favorable judgment, like the biggest kitrug, the biggest decrees are the things we created, the monsters we created, the disasters we wrought. So, and he asked Akedah Yitzchak, come in front of me with the shofar. The shofar is the ram's horn. The ram's horn will remind me of the Akedah of Yitzchak, v'azake eschem bedin. And I will make you meritorious in judgment. That's what the Yalkut says. That's what our sages say. So the Tehillas Hashem, he says, we see from here the humility, so to speak, of God. The proverbial humility of God is that who comes to their servants? Who comes to their servants? The servants come to the master. God says, no, no, I come to you. And not only Hashem comes to you. L'mishpatecha amdu hayem, we're all standing in judgment. He's giving us a way. Let me tell you how to get away from my judgment. Here's what you should do. Blow the shofar, it'll take care of the kitrug, the decrees, the obstacles, the blockages, and you'll receive all the blessings. So this is the idea of the Mishpatecha Amdu Hayyim. This is the concept of Rosh Hashanah. Ki akol avadecha. And every single year in Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to remember that we are im kibonim, like children, but im kavadim. And as long as we come before Hashem, contrite, kavadim, subservient, so then we're meritorious in God's judgment, as Adam was meritorious in God's judgment. So, I saw some very interesting, there's a sefer called Kerem Chemed that brings down in the name of Yerush Chaim Sonnenfeld that if you take the pasuk, this whole pasuk, and you add up the gematria, it gives you the number 861. And the words Rosh Hashanah are 861. So this is what you call like a Torah code. Rabbi Yosef Chaim figured out that if it says, if this must be talking about Rosh Hashanah, there must be some kind of gematria connection. And he did the math. He said, oh, wow, look at that. This pasuk, L'mishpatecha amda ayyem ki akel avadecha, actually spells the gematria of Rosh Hashanah. The Shaarei Chaim says that we see something phenomenal. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, even people who don't usually come to shul, they show up. How come? He says, because the Rosh Hashanah, it stirs the nekuda hapnimiyas shel kol adam yisrael. On Rosh Hashanah, the neshama, something inside wakes up. And when something inside wakes up, ilu afilu harachoykim, even those who are very far away from God, b'yamim hanaroyim, on those awesome days, they come to the Beit HaKnesset. And that's the meaning of l'mishpatecha amdu hayoyim. What's hayoyim, he says? Hayoyim is Rosh Hashanah. The yoyim of Har HaSoilam, the day of the world's creation, the world's birthday. And why do they stand in judgment? Ki hakol avadecha. Because really, they're your servants. Your servants mean they are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yankev, Zera Kedesh mechatzavtam. That they are ultimately the seed of the patriarchs within them. In other words, here's how the Shaarei Chaim interprets it. He says, L'mishpatecha, for your judgment, meaning Rosh Hashanah, Amdu Hayyim, they all stand today. They all came to shul today. Why? Because deep down, HaKoyel Avadecha. Because really, they are your servants. There's something inside them. There's something inside every one of us. Something stirs within us. This is the DNA we have from the patriarchs, from the Avraham Yitzchak Yankov. This is the Zera Kodesh. And because we come from those great people, and because a piece of them is implanted in us, so we are Avadecha. So that's the key. Because, do you know why we stand in judgment? Do you know why we came to the courthouse, so to speak, on Yom Noroyim? Because Ki HaKol Avadecha. It says in Kisvi Arizal that Misha Eini Becha, that somebody who's not moved to tears at least once during the course of Yom Noroyim, Ein Neshmas Shlema. He's got to tinker with the neshama. Something's messed up there. Which doesn't mean to sit and force yourself to cry. I didn't cry yet. Okay, I have to cry now. That's what it means. It means that a normal Jew who is somewhat connected to his or her neshama, when it comes these days, at some point you'll be overwhelmed with emotion. It's not possible otherwise. Many people are overwhelmed multiple times with emotion. Why? Because ki hakol avadecha. Because if we're really your servants and you're coming in judgment, so how could you not be moved? It's impossible it shouldn't touch you. And this is the meaning of then that so the continuation. So let me read it. We have basically three ways of understanding this pasuk. The first definition of understanding is pasuk is that we spoke about the concept of Shomayim, we spoke about the concept of Oretz, and God constantly creating them. And the pasuk David HaMelech comes along and he says, "Yep, l'mishpatecha amdu," that they're always standing in judgment. It's not a "I've been this way all along; it'll continue." No such thing. Every day a new judgment. They're doing their purpose. They're fulfilling their mission. That's where they're able to exist. The second methodology, second approach to understanding this pasuk is l'mishpatecha amdu ayyem. They're all standing ready to do your judgment. They're all going to perform as they are supposed to. Only people are rebellious. Everything else functions exactly in perfect sync with the will of Hashem. Ki hakol avadecha. They're all servants, and that's ultimately why they're able to continue being sustained, because they're being judged because they do the judgment. The third approach here is that this ultimately is speaking about the concept of Rosh Hashanah. And just as Adam and Chava merited judgment when they sinned, so too us, which Atem Kruim Adam, we are considered to be the true seed, the true replication of Adam Arishain, that we also are judged, and ultimately that this verse contains within it allusions to the concept of Rosh Hashanah and people being moved, and the idea Ka'akil Avadecha, because each and every one of us is ultimately a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with this, now that we concluded, so to speak, the first three verses of Lamed, of the eight verses of Lamed, with this we concluded the concept of creation and its ongoing relationship with the Creator. Nothing is by happenstance. Nothing is on autopilot. Everything is continuous. Everything is linked. Everything is ongoing. Everything comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heavens, earth, and the continuous judgment. And that concludes part one of the verses of Lamed. In part two, we're going to now focus on the Torah. David HaMelech said, because all of this is so, what is our responsibility? How do we sustain ourselves? How are we able to maintain this mindfulness? And there he introduces the concept. The rest of the verses will speak about the value of Torah study and how it enriches our lives and enables us to live according to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all for today.
That was fascinating. Yeah. Boy, faith is major.
Yeah, faith is a big deal.